Welcome to Hustle and Motivate, presented by JokerMag.com. On this podcast, I chat with real-life underdogs in the world of sports, entertainment, and more. We focus on their mindset, how they got started, what they're up to now, and how they overcame adversity on the path to greatness. I'm here with Joe Hart, at CoachJoe89 on Twitter. And we actually connected through Twitter. I've been seeing his videos pop up all over my timeline. And there's just so much truth to his words, so much passion behind everything he says. And Joe lives by the motto that average is the enemy. And I think that philosophy really embodies everything that we're about here at Joker Mag. So I'm excited to have him here to talk about his journey, his advice for you guys out there who are looking to make a change in your life. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. It's been quite a journey, but as you said, it's been awesome to meet so many people through social media, specifically Twitter. And, you know, when we got to connect and you invited me on, I couldn't refuse. It was I was extremely pumped about it. And I think a lot of our views align with each other and align with the side of Twitter we're on. And there's just so much value out there. People just got to be able to find it and use it to their advantage.
Yes, exactly. So let me get into a few questions I have for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand that you have an extensive background in sports. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what I do now is a little different than what I did growing up. Growing up, I was a baseball player. I loved baseball. I started playing when I was 5 years old, I believe, and played through my sophomore year of high school. And it was something that one of my greatest memories, greatest pastimes, you know, during the summers when I grew up in Georgia, you know, I would, after dinner, me and my dad would go out and throw the ball to each other, and he'd pitch to me or I'd pitch to him. And, you know, it grew to a true love of the sport. And, you know, I got to a point in high school where I was, I don't really brag about my abilities as a baseball player, but I would consider myself a pretty decent athlete. Mm-hmm. And I liked baseball by the time my sophomore year of high school came around, but I felt like the passion for it was going away. And I had to make the decision where if I wanted to go play college ball, I had to truly love that, because college sports takes up a lot of your time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I was fully into it. I had the talent, I had the ability, but the passion just wasn't there. So I actually stopped playing after my sophomore year. And my sophomore year, we made it to the Final Four in state. And of course, the next year when I didn't play, we won state. So I kind of missed that on the ring. But I wouldn't consider it a regret, because I learned a lot in the last 2 years of high school that further propelled me to where I am today. And so I don't have any regrets. Most people would probably think that, wow, you didn't play one more year and you missed out on the ring, but you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to live in the past, because the past is the past for a reason. I'm more looking towards my future and what I'm trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
And so I went to the University of Dayton in Ohio, go Flyers, and not going into any sports there. But my freshman year, they were looking for guys for cheerleading. And I thought that was the stupidest thing ever at the time. And one of the guys on my floor, said he was going to go try it out and that I should go try it out too. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to go do cheerleading. I just, no way. And he goes, well, the girls are kind of pretty. And I said, well, maybe I'll go test it out. I figure I'm a freshman, I'm away from home, I don't know anyone up here, what's the worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. And so I got into cheerleading in college, and at first it was very awkward for me because I didn't know how to stunt, I didn't know how to tumble, and so it was all things that I had to learn at a very quick pace. But over the course of 4 years, I ended up acquiring a lot of those skills at a very fast pace. My life revolved around it. I worked out based on the skills I needed, and I ended up just loving it. And so that's where kind of that journey, that choice to do cheerleading in college has led me today, because now I've been coaching competitive all-star cheerleading for 10 years. And wow, it's something that's truly my passion. I love going to the gym every day and coaching young athletes and pushing them to the next level and watching them compete and seeing them accomplish goals that maybe they didn't think they would ever be able to. And that the look on their face when they accomplish something is one of the greatest feelings as a coach.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So it's been quite a few years. I couldn't imagine my life where I would be right now if I had never chosen to try out cheerleading back in college. So completely different from baseball, but I'm happy I made that decision.
Yeah, and imagine if you just sat back and made the easy decision. You were like, no, that's stupid. I don't want to do that.
No, I could. I have no idea where I'd be, to be honest. Like I said, I've met a lot of great people through the competitive cheer world. I've worked at multiple gyms. I worked at some in Ohio. I used to coach at one back home in Georgia on summer breaks. And I lived in Florida for 4 or 5 years, and I coached at two gyms there. And I was part of a startup gym that's still running strong with two locations down there. And I recently moved up to New Jersey last year to get married to my now wife. Her family's from here, so we made the choice to move up to New Jersey to be close to her family. And I've been at Cheerforce Elite in Berlin, New Jersey for the past almost year and a half. And I absolutely love it. We just had competition yesterday, and it's long days. It's busy. It's tiring, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, it sounds like you really love it. And when did you discover that? Like, did you fall in love with it right away in college, or did it take some time to get used to it?
It took some time, because obviously someone who has no experience, no idea what I was doing. And over the course of, my freshman year, you start to learn to do some things, some skills, some tumbling, some stunting, and I realized the shape that it was putting me in. I was in great shape, and I was like, wow, I really like this. And then it started to click that there's this whole side of youth sports, and I always liked working with kids, always liked being a positive role model on the younger generation. And so that's when I started working at a small gym in Ohio, and I was able to start learning the basics of how to coach. And over the course of the 4 years in college, started coaching a couple teams, more like assistant coaching, not head coaching, because obviously my experience was limited. I had never cheered while I was in high school or middle school. I never competed in that type of realm of sports. So, and from there, that passion just grew. Like, it's been quite a journey, and I'm far from the coach I want to be, but every day I strive to be better. And something that I talk about fairly often, I had a mentor back when I was in Florida. He was our director, and he was a great coach. And I asked him, I said, look, my goal is I want to be the type of coach you are. And what hit me deep was he told me, he goes, I don't want you to be as good as me. I want you to be better than me.
Wow.
And that to me was, it's something that I try to live by daily, and I'm doing my best to prove him right.
He sounds like a really good guy too.
Yeah.
To see that.
Yep. He's had quite an amount of success as far as competitive all-star cheer goes. And I haven't quite reached that type of success yet, but every day that's what I'm striving for.
Yeah. And what's some of the stuff that you try to instill in your cheerleaders? Mindset wise.
Well, the mind is a powerful thing. And when during practice, it's very easy to get tired because there's a lot of things going on, but you've got to have the mental capacity to continue to push forward. Because for me, I don't consider myself an easy coach, because if I was an easy coach, I wouldn't be doing my job. That's my personal opinion.
Exactly.
I'm not here to be their friend. I'm here to push them to the brink of success, to encourage them when encouragement is needed, but also to let them know that things can be done better. And the big thing, you know, since the average is the enemy has kind of become my theme, they start saying it too, because they've seen me wear the shirt. They've seen me, you know, constantly say average is the enemy. And so they, over the past 6 months especially, have started to instill that into their mindset when they practice and when they compete. And I kind of explained it to them that, you know, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people who compete in this sport across the country, and you have a very select few who reach the top. And it's not the people who are putting in average effort, average time. They're going above and beyond, not just at practice, but they put in additional days at the gym that they don't have to be there, and their life is fully consumed by this sport. And that's the only way you're going to really attain success. And not just sports, it's kind of like life. Because if you really want to go out and accomplish anything worth talking about, you're never going to get there by putting in minimal effort and working on those goals or dreams when you feel like it. Because when it comes down to it, a lot of times we don't feel like doing the stuff we need to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been kind of the mindset. It's pushing them when they're tired. It's to have their mindset of, I know I'm tired, but I can do this. And we've got to continue to push forward, build up the endurance, build up the technique, and work together as a team. Because when it comes down to, because it is a team sport, you're only as strong as your weakest link, you know? And so I strive everyone's got their own individual skill sets that are better than others. But collectively they can become one strong unit as long as everyone does their job. So my goal as a coach is not just for them to become great athletes, but to have a great mental mindset and have that instilled in their everyday lives, at practice, at school, and whatever else they decide to do later on in life.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to average is the enemy. I know you made changes in your life recently, and did that come about from those changes? That motto?
Yeah, it was during my whole life change process. I guess I'll go in a little bit of background. Let's take it back to like May of this year. I was slightly depressed. I was overweight. I was eating bad. I was broke. And I woke up every day feeling like I was just dreading the day. I felt like I didn't have a lot going for me. My life wasn't where I had visioned it 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even a year ago. And through detoxing my social media and trying to remove as much negativity as possible, and then starting to make these goals, write down these daily and weekly and monthly goals, and slowly starting to obtain them and taking massive consistent action, I realized, wow, I could really change my life at a fast pace if I just stay consistent. And you know, everyone sees these motivational quotes and on a daily basis, whether it's from their favorite influencer or something they see on TV or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it may be. But I thought, majority of people don't live life to their fullest, and that it's kind of like the average mindset, like average job, average vacation, average bank account, average debt. All these things are all just average. And I just realized, I'm like, I don't ever want to be average. I don't ever want to be considered having an average life. And so people get comfortable in this, I almost consider it like the middle class. The middle class is, you know, the biggest class as far as financially, the middle class is huge in the U.S. And if you really take a look into the mindset of a lot of those people, they're comfortable being there because they have their house, They have their car, their two cars. They have their family. They have their jobs. And that's all great and all. But are they truly happy? And it's not saying that I want to be the richest person in the world or have the biggest house or biggest cars, because really possessions don't interest me. But it's having an above average life. And I feel like the whole falling into the average of a category is like the enemy, because that's where people get stuck. They start off as poor and they get to that middle area of success or life. They feel comfortable there and they stop focusing on the bigger goals they have because they feel comfortable and they get into that whole daily routine of, you know, going to the job, maybe going to the gym, you know, just not fully living life to the fullest. And so that's where this whole mindset of average is the enemy came through. And it was just one day I believe I was driving to work and I thought average is really the freaking enemy, because like as I said, like people get to this average lifestyle and they get comfortable. And that's the problem. We need to continually put ourselves in uncomfortable positions in order to further propel ourselves to the next level. And we become complacent. And so
exactly,
I just never wanted to be considered average. Obviously, I can't be above average in everything I do in life. It's impossible. I can't be great at every single thing I do. But what I can do is propel myself in a few different areas of my life to put myself above average and reach the success that everyone talks about, but not everyone works towards. So that's been kind of the whole mindset with the average is the enemy. And it's becoming kind of big. I wouldn't say huge, but my athletes are saying it. People are buying the shirts and wearing it. People will tweet at me when they're at the gym. They'll shoot a video over to me. As Coach Joe says, average is the enemy. And that makes me so happy because it's really becoming instilled in people's minds. And all because of something that I thought of on a drive home from work. And it's been pretty cool. I continue to work towards making this a more mainstream idea. And I hope that more people jump on in the future and realize your life can be so much more than what you're currently living. And so that's kind of been the journey there.
I love that. And what's that like to just know that you're impacting people who you've never met before?
It's kind of surreal. It's got to be one of the greatest feelings that I've ever experienced. You know, when you get a private message or a DM on Facebook or something, about whether it's a video I posted or something I tweeted or any of my content I've put out, and it's just like, hey, I just want to say thank you because you said this, I started to work on paying off my debt, or because of this, I started going to the gym, or because of this, I decided to get rid of all the negativity in my life. To me, that is like so powerful, because one, it shows that I'm making a small difference. I mean, it could have been one person that makes it all worth it, but having multiple people say that to you is exhilarating. But at the same time, it puts a little bit of pressure, because you want to continue to make a positive impact, and you don't ever want to slack off, which is fine. I'm not the type of person to slack off. And if I can help someone improve their lives, so then they can then improve the lives of other people, it's a chain reaction. And, you know, we live in this time and age where there's so much negativity out in the world when it comes to politics and the news and sports, and just about everything you see can be turned and have a negative spin on it. And that's part of the reason why we see just a high suicide rate and the high depression, something we haven't seen ever in this world, the amount of people on antidepressants and obesity and all these issues that all are triggered from their own personal mindset. And if I can do my small part and try to help as many people as I can change their lives, then I'm going to do it. I'll do it till the day I die. And, you know, it's all come from the past 8 months that I've decided to, you know, change my mindset about everything, because the mind is a powerful tool, as I've said, and it can be used for good or evil. And I choose to use mine for good and to help as many people as possible.
And you're not only changing your mindset, you're putting yourself out there. And really, like, when you first started, you're kind of taking a chance, like, on your reputation or whatever. Like, how are people going to respond to this? You know what I mean? Did you feel any of that? Any of that pressure to just...
I did feel some of that pressure. When I first started, I had a very small following. And it was mostly people that from college or friends from high school or something like that. And I think really the more the pressure started happening when I started doing the daily videos, because I wasn't very comfortable speaking on camera. I had a hard time really getting out the thoughts and words and ideas that I wanted to. And one day I decided, you know, I'm going to start doing a daily video 5 or 6 days a week, just 2.5 minutes long, and put out my thoughts for the day or my goals for the day or what people or things that I've done in my past that have helped further propel me to my future. And so I guess that was probably where I felt the most pressure, because you have that, will people take me seriously? Am I going to stutter? Do my words come across how they need to be? Am I making good eye contact? And it was actually easier doing it on Twitter because my following was a lot smaller at the time. Whereas my Facebook, I had a bigger following because it's just through all the parents that I've coached their athletes over the past 7-8 years, and my family and a lot of my friends from college. That was more where the pressure was coming from, because I had slowly started to change my Twitter and people started to see where I was moving to. But Facebook, I wasn't really involved in very much. I rarely go on. And then all of a sudden, one day, boom, I'm posting videos. And so
yeah,
that was probably where more of the pressure, because all of a sudden they hadn't heard from me. And then now I'm posting these, I guess, inspirational videos, you can call them. I don't really call them inspiration. It's just more of my thoughts and how people can change their life. So that was more of where the pressure came from, because then I get some parents, you know, text me, or they'll see me at the gym like, oh, so you decided to start videos. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I just figured I'd put out my thoughts out there. You know, that's probably where more of the pressure came from. I'm wondering,
yeah.
But I've also grown to just stop caring what other people think.
Exactly.
If we care about what other people think, we'll never live a fulfilled life, because everyone's going to have their own opinion. And as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, then I'm going to continue to do my thing. And it's a hard mindset to attain, because I'm constantly trying to improve on it. But when you can truly just not give a crap about what other people think, that is one of the most beautiful gifts you can ever obtain, because then the world becomes yours. Whatever you want to take, you can go out and get it. But when you limit your actions based on the opinions of others, you're just going to limit the amount of things you can accomplish in life.
And that's something that you really just have to develop over time. That's something that's not going to just come when you don't just make a conscious decision. It just kind of happens.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely a process, because it's not something that happens easily. It's something that, like, as I said, I constantly work on a daily basis. And especially on social media and Twitter, you're going to get people, you know, that are just going to hate on it, and that's fine. And my wife, actually, she doesn't like going on at least my Twitter page, because she'll see people post negative stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, it's fine. I used to take it a little more personally, but now I just kind of laugh. you know, it, I almost feel sorry for them because, you know, it's one thing if you don't agree with what I say, and that's fine. I'm all about having different opinions on different issues. But when you're just trying to put out hate, I genuinely feel bad for them because it seems like maybe they're in an unhappy place. Maybe they're living an unfulfilled life and they have no direction. And the thing is, I can actually relate to that because I was there once. I've been there. And I just want them to know that they have the power to change their mind if they truly want to. But they've got to be able to put it in action. I can't. It's all about the choice of taking action when it comes down to it.
Exactly. So if you had to pick, what's one thing that you wish you knew when you were just starting down this path?
I wish I would have started 5 years sooner.
Don't we all?
Yeah, maybe invested in Bitcoin back in the day. But I wish I would have found this side of Twitter sooner. I never was serious about Twitter, like I said, until probably June of this year. And it's kind of like the treasure at the end of the rainbow. You have this so many different areas of Twitter where it's politics or sports or, you know, you can just think about just about anything, education. And then me just starting to follow a couple people that have popped up on my timeline. And then starting to see the stuff they're retweeting or people they're engaging with. And I slowly started following a lot of those people. And I realized, wow, this side of Twitter is just, it's freaking amazing. I follow all sorts of type of people from fitness to mindset, to drop shipping, to copywriting, to entrepreneurship. And while I'm not trying to create a path in each of those areas, I can learn lessons from all of those areas to encompass my own mission. So it's become extremely valuable. And the crazy thing is, Twitter's free. So
yeah,
a lot of social media platforms are free. People just fail to use them to their advantage. I used to be the type of person that would scroll through Twitter and Facebook and see what everyone's doing, see the picture of their dog or their new kid or whatever it may be. And now I love seeing people posting the results of them killing it on social media. That to me is just, that's inspiration, because whenever I think I'm doing good and I see someone else like absolutely murdering it, like that to me is just like, man, I got to step it up a notch.
Yeah. It keeps you on your game for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I detox my social media. I don't have anything negative that comes up on my timeline as far as people that I follow. I don't follow politics. I don't get into politics because it's really just arguing with each other about what people think, and really just becomes a big giant argument about government and the president and whatever it may be. And that to me is nothing good comes out of it. And plus 99% of that stuff is out of my control. So why am I going to worry about it?
Yeah.
And that's my mentality as far as towards like the whole political side of Twitter. And then I don't follow any news. I don't watch the news on TV because just like politics, 99% of it is negative. And, you know, because you're in the Philly area and I live fairly close to Philly. You turn on the local news. It's this person got murdered. This person got robbed. Mm-hmm. This and that, and there's not one good story, maybe. And so I just choose not to consume negativity, because if you consume large amounts of negativity, you're eventually going to output large amounts of negativity. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to take that risk? I'm a much happier person now that I don't worry about stuff that's out of my control.
Yep. And you see it with people. The way that they are when they're constantly watching the news and stuff like that, it really does impact their mindset.
Oh, absolutely. You know, social media and the news is a powerful thing. And right now, you know, what people will project on the news is how people think. I think they're failing at creating their own opinions on things. They just assume whatever CNN or Fox or MSNBC or the local news is how they should think. It's a little bit scary because people are failing to create their own opinion on certain things. And so they can't really engage with other people with differing opinions. I mean, I hear about friendships lost over years over the election. I think that's so ridiculous. It's crazy that whoever you vote for, whether one side or the other, determines if, you know, you're a racist or you're a liberal or whatever it may be. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous to me that people are willing to lose friendships or relationships with family members or significant others over politics. It's absolutely insane.
It really is. And that's why I want this to be a positive media outlet.
Absolutely.
So let's get to these last few questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the one thing that you've done so far that you're most proud of?
Most proud of? You know, I met my wife 5 years ago, and we were both working at a country club, and I was a bartender. She was a server. She was kind of like a floor manager. And, you know, being able to connect with her and getting married was probably one of the best things that'll ever happen in my life, other than when we decide to have kids. And that's just somewhat, we understand each other. She understands that I work a lot and she works a lot as well, but we both have these goals and these visions for not just our individual self, but as a family, as a family unit. And so we support each other in those missions, even though sometimes it does take a little bit of time away from each other. We know that we have this mission in life, and that to me has been one of the greatest things as far as accomplishments go. Getting married has been a huge blessing. As far as something in the past year, paying off my debt was one of my biggest goals, and I went full force into paying off my debt that I had. And being debt free has got to be one of the best feelings, because now I have way more extra cash flow to put into investments, to start looking into real estate, to put it into my personal brand and start venturing out into doing other things for additional sources of income. And so now I'm able to pay all the bills while my wife is able to put more towards her debt, because that's our next big goal, is to get her debt paid off as far as college and car loan. So that's the big goal for 2019, if we can get most of it paid off. So I would say paying off debt in the past year has been the biggest thing that I accomplished. And then also finding this side of Twitter, which has been the biggest blessing as well.
Yeah. And just, you go back to meeting your wife and, you know, finding these people on Twitter and stuff like that. It's like you're building your own team almost.
Exactly. You can only do so much by yourself. And, you know, you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. And, you know, I've had friends in the past that I don't really talk to as much anymore, because maybe they don't have the same goal or drive as I do. And it's not that I don't love them. It's not that I don't care about them, but sometimes you gotta do the hard thing and cut people loose, and surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are going to propel you as you propel them. There's that saying, you know, your network is your net worth. And so I want to have the best network I can, because then my net worth will grow with it, as long as I take action. Action's the biggest key.
So before we wrap this up, what's one piece of advice you give to people who might be hesitant to make that big change in their life and pursue their dreams?
Life is too short to wait till tomorrow. We don't know when life is going to end. My days could be over tomorrow. It could be over next year. It could be over 100 years from now. And we have a problem of procrastinating, waiting till the new year to start on something, waiting till next month. And the time is now. There's that Chinese proverb. I think it goes a little along like the best time to start was yesterday. The second best time is to start to now. It goes something like that.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest piece of advice. Stop thinking about doing something and just start doing it. You're going to fail. Essentially, you need to fail in order to succeed. Everyone's scared of failing because it's projected as such a negative thing on social media of failing. But failure, if used correctly, is your biggest life lessons on how to prevent those failures in the future and to further propel your successes or your goals that you're trying to obtain. And so, yeah, my biggest piece of advice, like I said, is just start. Just start doing it. Don't wait till 2019. You still have, I don't know, 21 days left in December? Start now. Set yourself up for a great 2019. Because honestly, if you're waiting till 2019 to start, you're just with the majority of people who start with their 2019 New Year's resolution who will end up, you know, stopping after 2 weeks, a month. And you don't. That's the average mindset, and you don't want to be average. Average is the enemy.
I love how everything you talk about always comes back to that motto, and it's just such a powerful message.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I my athletes say it all the time, and I love it. I actually, one of the moms is actually buying her two daughters, who I coach, two of the shirts for Christmas as a gift that says average is the enemy. And I'm so pumped about it. But for Halloween, we allowed, you know, the different teams, depending on the days they practice, to dress up if they want to dress up in a costume or whatever. And four of my athletes dressed up as me, and they all had average is the enemy on their shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Or they have different things that I say during practice and stuff like that. And to me, like, that was deep. Because it was like, even though it was just like a costume, it was more of like, wow, I'm actually really making an impact, because what I'm saying during practice is what they're transforming their mindset into. And so that to me was one of the most awesome things, you know?
Yeah, that's the ultimate sign of respect.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a crazy 10 years of coaching, but I've loved every single minute of it. And then just seeing stuff like that makes it all worth it. Like I'll never take credit for their successes that they accomplish. I'm not the type of coach that says, oh, I got them to where they are. They got themselves to where they are. I just help guide them in the right direction is my mindset.
Well, this was a lot of fun, dude. I know we ran a little long. I don't want to go any longer. I know you're busy today, but do you want a quick plug where people can find you on social media? I know you're dropping some new projects soon.
Yeah, so you already mentioned at the beginning, my Twitter handle is CoachJoe89. That's where I'm most prominent. I do have an Instagram right now. It's GottaHaveHeart07. And then Facebook, I'm under Joey Hart on there, kind of a common name. I'm not too active on there as of now. I'm working on a new page based around the average is the enemy. And I actually will be having a average is the enemy site launch soon, within the next month or so, where new products will be released and where my daily videos will be posted as well. But really, Twitter is where I'm most prominent. It's what I'm most active on right now, because it's one of the greatest tools we have. And I'm not, this side of Twitter has been just so amazing that I want to further connect with as many people on that platform as I can.
Well, that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing all that, and your new site especially.
Yeah.
That'll be really cool.
I'm excited about it.
So thanks for coming on the show, Joe. And I'm really excited to see what the future holds for you.
I appreciate the invite. You know, like I said, when you asked me if I wanted to be on, I was super pumped about it. I'm looking forward to doing it again sometime.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely have to follow up.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you learned something new, smash that subscribe button and leave us a quick review. Hustle and Motivate is presented by JokerMag.com, the home of the underdog.